That process is, we're so busy. Like when you're in the middle of your life and you've got all these things, you've got yourself, your family, your career, your interests. It's like, and our society is, it breeds this. It's like, it never lets you stop. It never lets you pause or slow down. It's like, that's lazy. You know, why would you do that? It's achievement oriented. We're goal and success driven. And it's busy, 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 go, 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 do, 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 right? We're more human doings than human beings.
On this episode of the Creator Community, we'll meet Jeannie Duncan, a nonprofit CEO turned strategy, change, and transition consultant, as well as executive coach with a passion to help people know and live their truth. We'll hear how Jeannie's book evolved from a thought leadership book to the book she truly needed to write through coaching from her editor, who invited her to be more vulnerable on the page. We'll learn of the process she has developed to guide others to fulfillment by truly choosing themselves first, by living in their true identity and standing in their power from a place of love and kindness. We'll hear how this journey of learning led Jeannie to choosing herself first, living her truth, and writing her new book, Choosing Me, The Journey Home to My True Self. Check out the show. Welcome to the Creator Community. This is a podcast or book publisher, New Degree Press, or NDP. I'm your host, John Saunders. This show is designed to celebrate, elevate, and showcase many of the incredible authors that have published their books with NDP, part of Manuscripts, Inc. This year, NDP will cross over 1,500 published authors from six continents and earn the 293rd spot on the Inc. 5000 list. This is the fastest growing privately held companies in America. If you've ever thought of writing a book but weren't sure where to start or how to finish, visit creator.institute to learn more. This is episode 10 of season 5, and today I have with me Jeannie Duncan. Jeannie is described by her clients as an edge-walking transformation partner, helping them discover their authentic value and unlock their courage to share it with the world. Her mission is all about getting down to the beating heart of what matters most, because every moment is an opportunity to feel fully aligned and alive. She's a former executive and CEO in the nonprofit sector and now a certified coach and business entrepreneur. Jeannie has spent over 25 years helping leaders and organizations step into their greatness with purpose and passion. She believes in showing up with big, bold energy in everything she does, and she can live her truth and inspire others to discover and live theirs. It's the collective passages of transformation, her own from those of her clients, that inspired her memoir, Choosing Me, My Journey Home to My True Self, which is due out this September 2022. Jeannie, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Great to see you as always.
Pleasure is all mine. So many exciting things to talk about here with your book and this journey you've been on. But let's start a little bit about the career journey. What led you to writing a book, Jeannie? How did that go for you?
Oh, wow, John. I think I have thought about writing a book for a long time. And the subject matter has changed over time, different books I've thought about writing. And my work is around, in my own business, my work is coaching, executive coaching for women mostly, and teams, leadership teams, consulting, and I do leadership development facilitation. And so it's through my own journey in my life and also being with my clients. So many individuals that I've coached and hearing their stories had me wanting to write a book that was really about transitions and our life journey and how we navigate that. I had just come out of some significant transitions myself. And so that coupled with the work that I do in the world had me thinking, maybe it's time.
Lots of different books out there in your mind. Thanks to some feedback, talking to clients and your own life experiences, you landed on a pretty interesting one, Choosing Me, which we'll get to more in a minute. But a little bit about the coaching program. How did you find your way to the author coaching program and the Creator Institute, which is the other part of Manuscripts, Inc.?
Right. Well, I found my way to the program through a good friend and colleague of mine, Alicia Wilford, and I was so glad to find it. Alicia and I had been kind of accountability partners in working on each of our books for quite a while, many months. I started my process in January of 2019, and I found this program a couple of years later in 2021. So I had been writing along the way. And I like to say that I needed someone to turn my homework into. I needed someone to hold me accountable with things to turn in with rigor, because I'm a big excuse maker. Deadlines. So this program gave me that.
That's fantastic. So Alicia helped you find your way here. And as a busy professional entrepreneur, how did you fit this into your life?
I think that was the hardest part for me, John. As an entrepreneur running my own business, I give my clients a lot of attention, and my business is like, it's my life's work. So it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like me. And so making room for writing was really tough for me. And I really had, I call it going pro. I'm trying to remember the name of the book. I'm not going to remember it off the top of my head, but it was a book I read at about that same time. And it was about taking yourself seriously as a creative. And so I've always written. I journaled as a kid and just through my life. And I've written a lot for business. But when it came down to starting to write my book, my internal saboteur just kind of perched up here on my shoulder and started chattering to me all the time. Like, when are you going to get to your real work and put that writing away? You know, quit playing and do your real work, which was my business, my client work. And so I struggled with that for many months. And it was finding the coaching program, the Creator Institute at Georgetown, the Book Creators Program, that really helped me take myself seriously, claim my writing as, you know, part of who I am as an author and a writer. And I remember the first times that I said that to myself, I am a writer, I am an author. And that enabled me to make space for it.
You know, so much of it is mindset, right? But having those guideposts, those guidelines, and having that editor check in every week, I found immensely powerful for my journey. Of course, the weekly workshops. I want to ask you one more question about the book itself before we dive in, which is, you have this extraordinary cover. What's the word I'm thinking of? The little maze that you might see is
The labyrinth.
Yeah. A labyrinth. Thank you. There's the word. With looks like, I think, your eye behind it looking through the middle. Yes. How did you come up with that cover design? I really like that.
Oh, thank you for that. I love this cover design, and it took a while to get there. So the labyrinth as a metaphor is part of the message behind my book, that, you know, we travel this journey, we travel this path always, like we're forever traveling our life journey, our truth journey, to our core self, of our true self of who we are. And so, you know, since it's a memoir, my artist that I was working with wanted some sort of image of me on the cover. Well, I am so uncomfortable with that. So he made it really abstract, which I grew more comfortable with. And he added a lot of color to it. So it's truly a work of art. And that's what I wanted it to be, is to, you know, support a creative and an artist in this process. So he created an abstract piece, and then he overlaid the maze or the labyrinth on top of it. So it's kind of that idea of journeying to the core of who you are.
I thought it turned out fantastically. I really, really love it. And so what a cool metaphor for setting up your book, right? I think it really gives gives readers a look at what this book is about. So let's go a little bit deeper there. Jeannie, what is the book about? Choosing Me, The Journey Home to My True Self.
Ah, dun, dun, dun. First of all, this book started out as a book on thought leadership, you know, the genre of thought leadership. I was wanting to write a book about my process of how I navigated through, you know, really big and important transitions in my life. And so I wrote an entire book in that genre. And it was after I turned in my first draft manuscript that my editor came back to me and she said, you know, this is a good book. And I just get the sense that this is not really the book you want to write.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
Another one?
You know, she convinced me. She said, seriously, I hear your voice in this book, but this book is not really in your voice. It feels like a safe voice, a business voice. And she was right. That's the place I was most comfortable. And she said, what I'm going to invite you to do is get really vulnerable. And I think, you know, you have a powerful story to tell. And it depends on how willing you are to get super vulnerable on the page. And she says, I'm just going to leave you with that. Think about it. Come back to me. Let me know, because we can take this book forward, the one you've already written, or, you know, you can kind of accept my invitation and we can start working on that real book that's in you. And I, after my head spun off and I picked it up off the floor and put it back on my shoulders, I decided, yeah, I'm up for this. Let's do this. And she helped me find my voice, truly my voice in my life, my writer's voice. And so this book is an invitation. It's two things, really. It's this invitation for my reader, you know, to choose themselves. So it's about choosing me. It's my story, but it's an invitation for my readers to do the same, for them to choose me, to choose themselves, and to know that they can do that no matter what's going on in their life, where they are, that it's their birthright to be, you know, who they are. And so it's an invitation for that. And then it's also a process through my own life journey and sharing a bit about my story in this book. I'm offering a process that I noticed about myself that has worked for me, but also has worked for my coaching clients. And it's the same kind of process that I heard. I interviewed over 50 women for my book. Wow. And while it turned into a memoir, their stories inspired me and also helped underscore a process that an individual has to go through to get to who they are.
What an unbelievable story. First, can we share who your editor was?
Yes, it was Taslin Magnusson.
What a great collaboration there, right? Yeah. She really pushed you to write the story that you had inside you, and she identified that. And having that professional editor is such an important part of the journey. So a few nuggets here around the inspiration that wrote your story. But one of the things you talk about in the book, I think, is how our identity oftentimes gets created by others or what we think it's supposed to be, right? And you talk about this concept of fabricated identities.
Yeah.
You know, given this sort of construct, what was your deeper inspiration to write this book, Jeannie?
Yeah, you know, John, it started, I shared with you that I started my book in January of, 2016?
21. The original start.
Yeah, 2019. Sorry, 2019. But what inspired me to write my book is I had just undergone a transition in my life where I left my marriage of 25 years, over 25 years. And I had gone through that separation. And I was sitting in my condo, which was my new condo, it's all mine. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, it's one thing to know your truth. It's another thing entirely to live it. So I had been sitting with the truth inside myself for a long time that I was gay. And I didn't think it was possible for me to live who I was. And the more I unfolded that, so I remember sitting there, you know, in my office by myself and thinking, it's one thing to know your truth, it's another thing entirely to live it. Because I knew that for a long time, but I wasn't comfortable living it. I didn't feel like I could claim it and be who I was. And the fabricated identities, that's what I started. I started unraveling that knowing versus living your truth. And as I started doing that, I began to realize, you know, why did it take me until my mid-40s to own and claim my identity? And a big part of that is my sexual identity. But actually, it's so much more than that. This book really is a coming out of my true self in so many ways. And what it makes me think of is my upbringing and anyone's upbringing of taking it back to when you're a child. And, you know, even before we're born, our parents, well-meaning parents, you know, if they know they're going to have a boy or a girl, for example, or even if they don't know, but as soon as you're born, you're like, oh, it's a girl. She's going to be a ballerina, or it's a boy. Oh, he's going to be strong. Maybe he's going to play football or baseball, right? And I'm guilty of it. I did it to my own son, you know? So I found out I was going to have a boy. And before he was even born, it's like, you know, you paint their room, you decorate their room. It's almost like you hang this little costume. I talk about this in the closet. It's as if there's a costume that your parents design and it's hanging in your closet. And when you're born, you wiggle right into that costume and you start becoming that individual that your parents have dreamt you to be. And we don't even think about it. Well, when we're infants, you know, we're just doing what we do. You know, we're being raised by parents. And my parents were so well-meaning and loving and kind and caring. I had a great childhood. But the identities, you know, they begin to be fabricated by those individuals that are so important to us in our life, our parents, our teachers, our siblings, maybe coaches or other important people in your life. And I think all of us can relate to your parents going, you know, oh, well, you're going to go to college. You're going to study this. Oh, be this, be that, right? Be an attorney, be, you know, all these things that our parents dream of us. We kind of fall right into that lane and start living that version of ourselves. And I did the same thing. And so it was an exploration of this, of how did I get shaped? How did who I am, how did I get to be this person that I am? And I looked at that over the course of my life and how this identity had been fabricated. And as I grew into adulthood, I was building my own identity, but so much of it had been built for me, it felt like.
You know, it sounds like such a common story, right? Your parents raise you, how they were raised, and sort of the cycle continues. And I love this concept of fabricated identities that we sort of put upon our children, our families, our friends, our colleagues, what have you. And yet you found a way to break out of it and had the strength to do it. And some people, I think you use the word selfish in the book to kind of describe this, right? And of course, the book is called Choosing Me, which sounds a little bit selfish, but I think you're trying to argue that maybe it's okay to be not just selfish, but taking a step further and self-full, right? This is a concept you talk about in the book. Jeannie, what do we need to know about being self-full?
Yeah, well, John, what you just said, I think selfish, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I always say my mom did not teach me to be about myself. She taught me to be about others and helping others. And so this idea, I think we grow up, especially women, and I found this in the interviews that I conducted, it's like we're taught to put others first. And we're taught that being selfish is a negative thing, a bad thing, even an arrogant or an ego-centered thing. And what I want to invite my readers into and the listeners of this podcast is, you know, it's about being self-full. And what I mean by that, first of all, I like that word better because I have so much stuff attached to the word selfish. So self-full means, you know, being full, like filling yourself up, taking care of yourself. It's almost like, you know, when you're boarding an airplane and the flight attendant says, put your mask on first before helping others. It's the same kind of thing. Take care of yourself first, practice good self-care, and then you'll be the best you can be, not only for yourself, but also for others. And so it's that idea, self-full.
Love the metaphor, right? If you can't, if you aren't in good shape and taking care of yourself, it's going to be very hard for you to help and serve others. As you know, as you said, you and many of us have been coached or guided to do in our lives. I really appreciate that thinking. So this book, it's a memoir, right? You've shared that, but it has a lot of overlap with the coaching and leadership work that you do. And you've interviewed all these women, but how did this all impact your work, putting this memoir together? And where's the intersection there?
You know, what I see most in terms of the intersection between my own life journey, the coaching work I do of executive women and the interviews that I conducted of over 50 women, and they were all over the world, all backgrounds, all cultures, is that I begin to see universal themes through their stories. So my reader, you know, my kind of profile reader is a female in the kind of in the middle of her life from 40 to 60 range. And so you typically by that time are advanced through your career. You're, you know, doing what you are doing maybe 15 years in, 20 years in. You have families, a lot of things going on in your life. And the themes that I discovered were, you know, it's putting everyone else first. We were talking about selfish and self-full a minute ago. Being that dutiful leader, mother, spouse, daughter, and so forth. And the limiting beliefs, as women, we often have limiting beliefs that we don't deserve to take care of ourselves. We don't deserve to think about ourselves and what we most want in our life. It's that putting everyone else first. It's so ingrained in most women, in most of us, that it really takes a lot to break out of that. And what I find is women in the middle of their life, something happens. Something goes off, and it's different for different people at different times. But overwhelmingly, the theme is there's at some moment of your life, there's this kind of awakening. It could be in your job. It could be through other relationships in your life. It could be a dream that you've been holding inside yourself for a while. But all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. I can do this. I can have this dream. Or wait a minute. This job is not fulfilling me. Or wait a minute. This relationship that I've been in for 25 years, I've told myself that I'm happy, that it's good. And I don't know. It's not. It actually isn't. I'm not fulfilled. And so that's what I noticed in that intersection, was this thing happening and this awakening happening. And that's what I'm wanting to help people find in this book. Or if they're feeling those kinds of stirrings inside themselves, I'm wanting them to know that they can pause on that. They can reflect on that, and they can craft, you know, how do I take action on this?
How do I stop or break this pattern, right? And follow the true path that I want to be on. And this is part of your coaching process, right? And right. It's interesting that you've written a memoir that's so applicable to business leaders and I'm going to call them humans and how they live their lives, predominantly women in your case. But that is really fascinating. So you found this process has been impactful to help others break out and find these new patterns and more fulfilling patterns in their lives. Is that a fair statement?
It is. It is. And that process is, we're so busy. Like when you're in the middle of your life and you've got all these things, you got yourself, your family, your career, your interests. It's like, and our society is, it breeds this. It's like, it never lets you stop. It never lets you pause or slow down. It's like, that's lazy. You know, why would you do that? It's achievement oriented. We're goal and success driven. And it's busy, 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 go, 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 do, 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 right? We're more human doings than human beings. And so my book really is a spark, I hope, a catalyst, I hope, to just kind of jolt you awake a little bit of going, wait a minute, I don't have to be living my life this way. I can notice what's going on and how I'm feeling. I can stop and turn inward and, you know, kind of get still and pay attention to myself. And then it's that inner voice emerges, at least it has every time that I've done that. And also in people I've worked with, it emerges and it tells us things. And so we have choice points from that. You know, what do I choose to do? Do I choose to stay this course, or do I choose to do something different of more of what's calling to me? And that takes a lot of courage, a lot of courage. You know, for me, I left my marriage of over 25 years. It's like, that was one of the hardest things, of course, I've ever done. It was a lot of love in that relationship. And yet I wasn't really being who I was. And so that takes a lot of courage then to take action.
So to all of our listeners out there and readers of your book, Jeannie, who are in this pattern you're describing, let's say they are 12 to 24 months before you were making this change in your life. And you're working all these hours, maybe taking care of a family, you've got all these things on your plate, and you sort of see this little dream in your mind, but how the heck do I even start thinking about that in a realistic way? Because I've got all these other things going on. How would you encourage someone to think about starting that process, that journey?
You know, I think the best way I can answer that question is to say where I started in that process. You know, it was the questions I asked myself. And it all began for me when I went to coach training. And I was in my first, there were like 5 weekend long sessions, modules that we went through. And the very first one, I'm walking into the class that first morning of the first day. And I'm going over to get a cup of coffee. And there's this banner over the coffee area that says, "Fulfillment is your birthright." And I'm like just sipping my coffee going, what does that mean? Fulfillment is my birthright. That began the undoing, or, you know, just unfolding of just all this stuff inside me. We were asked by our facilitators, you know, what are you longing for? You know, in what areas of your life might you not be fulfilled? And so it just, there were a whole series of questions that we began reflecting on. And I remember sitting in that class that day going, I don't think I'm longing for anything. You know, I've got this, I've got a great marriage. I've got a beautiful family. I've just started my business. I'm thriving in that. I sat there literally going, I'm good here. And then the more I started really being honest with myself and answering the questions that were prompted, you know, to us in that coaching program, coach training program, I began to realize I've been telling myself a story for a long time, or stories for a long time, so long that I began to believe them myself. And so I'm inviting people to be open and to know that the life you might be living right now, there might be some degree of not truly being honest with yourself and living the life you most want to live. At least that's what happened to me. It happens for a lot of folks I work with.
You've got to be open to it, right? You've got to sort of find this change trigger, it sounds like, in your life. And I think it was an interesting story there with seeing the sign above the coffee pot and sort of reflecting on that, really a defining moment for you, which is a key thing that you also talk about in the book. You know, tell us a little bit more about that. What do you want people to know about defining moments and maybe how to make them happen?
Well, that was a defining moment for me, for sure, of thinking one thing and realizing, oh, wow, there's this invitation and openness. And that weekend completely changed my life. I went in thinking, I'm good here. I'm just going to be trained. You know, it was credentialing process that I went in thinking it was. And then being open that and allowing even the smallest moments in your life. So that was, in a way, that was a small moment. It was just a facilitator asking a few questions, but being open to it, allowing that just to sink into that, ended up having that kind of simple moment become something that was absolutely transforming and helped me see that this life I think I love, actually, there's a lot of places in my life where I'm not choosing me. I'm not being true to myself. And that, you know, started that process. So I think it's really about paying attention, about noticing, and that openness.
Being open, paying attention, hearing yourself, right? Hearing your true self, which oftentimes is hard to do in these busy lives that we lead.
All the chatter.
And I love that you found this from going out and sort of learning, growing, this coaching program that you went to certify yourself and become a better coach for others. You know, it makes me think of Jose. I heard a great interview with Jose Andreas, who's a big restaurateur in the DC area in New York, where I live. Heard an interview with him a little while ago on how he built his enterprise. And he said, so many people sit around on their couch and say, I want to do this. And, you know, are waiting for it to happen, right? As they sit on their couch. And right, you did not take that approach. You went out, you continue to grow and learn. And I can think of some of the best transformations in my life, really periods of intense learning and growth. Writing a book was one of them. And it sounds like that was one for you as well.
Absolutely.
What an incredible story. Choosing me, the journey home to my true self. So, Jeannie, what's the key message the world needs to know about your book?
You know, I would say the key message is for people to know that they can do this. I would take it back to selfish, selfful, that it's not even that you deserve to choose me. It's that it's already there. Like, your me is already inside. It's chiseling away all the layers. We talked about the identities earlier. It's about getting that stuff, excavating your true self that lies within, and that it's yours. Kind of like fulfillment is your birthright. It's yours to be had. It's what the world needs. There's only one you on the entire planet. And why would you be anything or anyone else but that?
I love the metaphor of chiseling or excavating, right? Think of all the beautiful statues around Italy, right? The marble statues, and you know, how did they get there? They had to chisel away and find that true beautiful pattern that existed underneath all that rock. And it sounds like you found a great way to help others do that, and certainly yourself. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So writing a book, it's a really reflective period. And I haven't heard a story quite like yours in that you literally wrote the manuscript, the first draft manuscript, which of course, first draft manuscripts are never submitted as books, but they start a revision process. But at that point, you made this enormous pivot thanks to the help of your editor. You know, what do you think you learned about yourself along the way through book one and maybe even more with book two.
Right. Oh my goodness, John. I think it's one of those things, if I knew then what I know now, you know, like I'm not sure I would have done it, but no, absolutely. I would have done it, but I had no idea it was going to turn me inside out and upside down. And I'm so thankful that it did. And it's so ironic that I was writing a book or became a book about choosing me and your truth journey and how many defining moments I went through, even in the book writing process itself. I think the main thing that happened for me is I found my voice. And the funny thing was, I thought I had found my voice with the whole claiming my sexual identity and living, you know, knowing my truth and living it. I thought I had found it. And then I get in this book writing process and I'm like, well, that was one, you know, one part of me, you know, finding me, but I found my voice and I learned to speak it. And that's really a story about knowing my power, my personal power, and standing in it. And standing in it from a place of love and kindness, not like power, like beat my chest and, you know, authoritative power, but a loving kind power.
I mean, that you just gave me chills saying that, right? So many times when we think about power, it's about dominance and owning and controlling and all of these things. And you're looking at it from a completely different perspective, this self-love, this self-care, this self-full journey, which is just so brilliant. So many, I'll say, unexpected positives to you finding a new voice. You thought you'd already found your voice, right? And now you found a new level of it, which is amazing. In terms of your interaction with others and just sort of the journey itself, any surprises along the way for you with the book? Any new relationships you developed along the way because of it?
You know, I would say relationships that I developed from it was a deeper relationship with myself. That it really did surprise me in the book. I thought I was writing a book about what I had experienced, it got me started, but the book became so much about the experience I was having while I was in it, like in the writing of the book. For example, my book, a quarter of it is about my relationship with my mom. So the mother-daughter relationships, and again, talk about universal themes with that. Mother-daughter relationships are complex and dynamic for sure. And so that unfolding to become such a core part of the book was a surprise to me. And I think it underscores one of the main points I want to drive home to listeners and to my reader is your truth journey, the journey home to your true self is always unfolding. It's always a journey. You're never arriving, always traveling. Yeah.
Wow.
You never know what's coming.
having had a front row seat in my own life to some complex mother-daughter relationships, I'm curious what was maybe one of your key findings there?
You know, I think that, again, another universal theme in working with so many women and hearing so many women's, you know, stories of their own life journeys is this idea of pleasing others. And so really looking at that in my relationship with my mom, it's like, I wanted to please her. I wanted to make her proud. I wanted her to be proud of me. And so it was always striving for that. And it was, you know, that when you're learning about yourself, it's like you learn that you shouldn't be striving for something so outside yourself that is of someone else's expectations of you, but rather what do you want, you know, for yourself and who are you really? It's shedding that trying to live into others' expectations, trying to be someone I'm not. And it's that baby costume, you know, hanging in the baby closet, that identity. I was living into an identity or identities that had been shaped for me my whole life. And I stopped, or I guess I should say I'm stopping. There's so many of those. And one of those really significant ones was that with my mom. And it's a practice every day, John, for sure. And it taught me more about forgiveness and unconditional love than anything else has in my life.
That's incredible. I think it was Nelson Mandela that said, you know, sort of not forgiving people and being angry at them and, you know, hoping that solves the problem is like taking a poison pill and hoping the other person dies, you know, this kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that's such a great, that's such a great quote or story. So true. So true.
What an incredibly...
So it's become a, you know, it was a practice. It's not like I didn't know that, but I was really reminded of that in, you know, in the work that I'm doing in my relationship with my mom.
Right.
Forever work.
I think we're all at least sort of trying to do the best we can. And sometimes the best we can isn't always what's right for someone else. And it's so amazing that you had this awareness and this ability to kind of see that pattern and find a way to break out of it and put on your own oxygen mask first and find a new path forward for yourself that's clearly been much more fulfilling and incredible for you. And it's been such a pleasure to have a tiny bit of a third row seat to your journey here and play a little part of the journey. It's been fun to watch and see this continued evolution of yourself. To borrow a word from, I think, Serena Williams, she's been using in the news here lately with her retirement, this evolution. But so, Jeannie, the book is coming out here, September 2022, Choosing Me, My Journey, The Journey Home to My True Self. What's next for you and what are your goals for this coming year?
Oh, John, what's next for me is getting this book and its message and themes out into the world. It's like been inside me and the book writing journey has been so intense. And now it's like, I see it as this big springboard, this big platform. And I just want to love it into the world.
Love it. I've heard a number of women compare writing a book to having a child. Is that metaphor hold for you?
Totally. My son was a piece of cake. I only have one child. He was a piece of cake compared to this book.
Right, the book just keeps coming back. I love it. Well, so excited for you and what's next for you, Jeannie, and this amazing book you're putting, you're loving into the world and this incredible road that you continue to build in front of yourself. It turns out you're not the only one who's pretty excited about your book. We've got a great quote here from Denise Turner Roth, president of U.S. Advisory Services at WSP USA, former Obama administration official, senior official. She shared this quote about your book. Have you ever wondered what would happen if you lived out loud? Simply choose to be your true self in all circumstances. For that matter, have you ever wondered who is the true you? Jeannie offers a process for navigating your life journey and emerging on the other side closer to living the life you most want to live. Wow. How did that feel getting that quote from Miss Roth?
Like a giant hug. Yeah, it's like, I love what she said about living out loud and just being true to who you are. It's like, yeah, what if we did that? What if we let go? What if we just relaxed and let go?
Well, right,
I'm asking myself that question every day.
Right. And every day, you know, I remember I used to do a lot of work with DISC, the personality assessment thing, and do a lot of coaching around that. And one of the things we learned through becoming coaches for that was that if you aren't, you rank yourself as you get scored on, right? Well, how you sort of show up every day and how you want to show up at work and in personal life and things like this. And if those things are disconnected, that takes an enormous amount of energy to not have that congruency. And it sounds like there's a bit of a parallel here in your story and a pretty darn powerful one that's had some fantastic outcomes for you, Jeannie. So excited to hear your story and know that your book is out there in the world.
Thanks, John.
If people want to learn more about you and the book, Choosing Me, where might they go?
Oh, my website is a great spot to start. It's jeannieduncan.com. They can find out about my work and the book and all kinds of good stuff.
Outstanding. jeannieduncan.com. Jeannie, so excited for you and the book coming out this September, wherever you buy books online. Thank you so much for being on the Creator Community today and sharing your story.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
The pleasure is all mine. Don't forget to subscribe to the Creator Community channel on your favorite podcast platform. If you enjoyed this episode, please share us a review and let Jeannie and I know what you think. If you're ready to write your book, visit thecreator.institute to learn more about this fall's cohort. I'm your host of the Creator Community, John Saunders. Keep creating.